League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So I do have a true confession for you.
All right, I love it. Bring it on.
Her name is Minneapolis Millie.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I fell in love. And I might just see if she's available to be a co-host. I mean, she was special.
Is she spry?
She's spry.
I'd give up my seat to Minneapolis Millie.
Spry is an interesting word because it's meant to be a compliment, but it also connotes old, does it not?
Well, she is 100.
Oh, come on. You're probably rounding up. She looked good though.
Good for her. Yes. At the game and everything. I just hope the heart health, you know, is okay for her.
Heart health. I mean, my goodness.
That was rough for me.
And that was hard for everybody. Mm-hmm. And she, I'm sure all eyes were on Millie. Would she hang on?
Well, I love that you have a woman crush because I had two man crush last segment with Jack Del Rio and John Gruden. So
yeah,
you can have Millie.
Somehow, I think you're doing better than I am with the crushes. You know, the thing about Millie is she's paid me no interest. She's shown me no attention. And most people think she's a little old for me. But
she, at 100, she knows how to play hard to get.
Well, so she's spry.
You're just acting like you don't. She doesn't know you, but she
well,
knows.
I'm the underdog, but so are three teams. It's interesting. The three out of the four teams have never won a Super Bowl. Really great stories that you've got the Jaguars, the Vikings, and the Eagles all trying to win a Super Bowl. They've all had shots. But this is a really exciting time for the league, frankly, to have these three teams come from nowhere.
No, it really is. It's good for parity. I mean, of course, you know, we got the old staple with the Patriots. Who can take them out?
You've got about 30 seconds. Of those three underdog teams, is there one that you think would be the most compelling story, sort of a dream come true story? And you have to look beyond just the miracle of Minnesota moment that we had yesterday. Is there one of those three that you think would be the most compelling?
I do. It's Minnesota.
Okay.
And we can talk about Case Keenum later, but his story is amazing. And no team has ever, the home team has never played where the Super Bowl is. So this would be an exciting first in NFL history.
All right. When we come back, we will look at the matchups. We'll look at the NFC and AFC championship games. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, it's not every day we have breaking news. We have breaking news right now.
So jealous.
Your man, John Gruden, one of your man crushes,
that's right,
a.k.a. Chucky, is actually coming on SB Nation Radio tomorrow. He's going to join the Sean Salisbury Show. He will be interviewed by Sean Salisbury at 5:40 Eastern Time, John Gruden, to join the Sean Salisbury Show.
I think that's exactly the same time I'm supposed to do a shift in the station, right at 5:40. I think I'm supposed to, like, wipe down the seats, make sure everyone is happy. You know, all that
really?
Stuff.
Really? You just want
to
show up.
I'm
actually, this window back here needs to be cleaned.
Ron, at the break, I'm taking care of you.
At the break?
Well, so
today or tomorrow?
Today.
Today?
And then I'll come back tomorrow.
Oh, no. I'm saying tomorrow. If you need, you know, during your shift.
Oh, sure.
So you really.
Shift, I have stuff in here. I mean, these guys haven't been dusted since we put them there.
Okay, well, if I can get a look-see at Gruden, I'm coming. I'm Dustin. I'm
you
cleaning.
Really
I'm ready to go.
You really want to see Chucky?
Absolutely. He's a man crush of mine. Yes, of course.
Well, Chucky, you.
Ron, help me here.
No, that's okay.
No, Raiderette.
Yeah, she's a Raiderette.
Princess of Darkness.
It's been a tough week, though, for you, letting Jack Del Rio go.
Yes, it has been tough.
Saying goodbye to one and embracing another.
Yes, but I do have confidence in Jack, and he will land someplace else. But I really did love him in Raider Nation. But
all right. Well, let's take a look at the matchups. There are four teams, two games, and actually some pretty good games to look forward to this weekend. Let's first look at the Patriot game. And I call it the Patriot game. It's the Patriots-Jaguar game, I should say. I got to believe the Jaguars do have a defense that can harass Tom Brady.
I think what the Jaguars have is a complete team. And I'm going to go back to our first hour when we talked to Brad Meester at former Jaguar Center. We had an entire segment with him, and he's so passionate about the Jaguars, and we had a great talk. We never even brought up Leonard Fournette because there is so much to talk about with Jacksonville. I mean, you've got Blake Bortles, the tale of two Blakes, you know, who is probably the one less staple part of the team. They've got a first-class defense in Calais Campbell, I mean, leading in sacks, doing so much damage, so much defense we can talk about in A.J. Boye. We talked about Doug Marrone as a fantastic head coach, and then you couple him with Tom Coughlin. There's so many parts to this team that we haven't even touched on Leonard Fournette, who is having a breakout rookie year. I mean, yesterday, 109 yards, three touchdowns, two in the first 10 minutes at Heinz Field. I mean, this is a team with a lot of weapons.
All right, I hear you, but I'm going to have to say that Belichick's going to create a scheme that will really bottle up Leonard Fournette. I don't see Fournette getting 100 yards against the Patriots defense, which had not been extraordinary against the run, but I just think
it's getting better.
Yeah, Belichick's going to find a scheme to stop Fournette and force Bortles to beat him. And that's where I think it doesn't work out. You know, the Patriots have some pretty good corners, too. Gilmore played really well last week. And Butler, of course, he didn't play so well last week. But Malcolm Butler has got the pedigree and certainly the big Super Bowl game. I just have to believe the Patriots are going to hold the Jaguars to about 14 points or less, and I don't think the Jaguars are going to keep Tom Brady from getting three or four touchdowns.
You know, and that is going to be the key. But, you know, you're looking at probably the league's best defense in the Jaguars, and the only way in my mind to beat the Patriots is to pressure Tom Brady.
Yep.
And they need to look, they're going to look at the game tape from this weekend with Tennessee and see that there were zero sacks and there were only five hits on Brady, and look what happened. You have the 35-14. Very typical Patriots win. So that's going to be the key for Jacksonville for sure. And as much as Belichick's going to game plan, so are Marrone and Coughlin. So we'll see. It's going to be a little bit of a chess match. But, you know, the interesting thing, too, with Bortles, who, you know, is questionable, but we talked about earlier, he beat the Bills with his legs. Steelers had a game plan to take away his legs. He beat the Steelers with his arm. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it seems to be the one way to beat the Patriots, as you noted, is to have an outstanding pass rush, which the Jaguars do, mm-hmm. have a great defense. Mm-hmm. And they've got the two corners that can extend, well, makes Brady hold on to the ball a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. The two great corners, Boye and Ramsey, makes Brady hold on to the ball a little bit longer. The rush gets to him. But if you look at the teams that have beaten Brady and Belichick in the big games, they all had a good pass rush. The Giants did it in two Super Bowls. There were the Broncos in the playoffs in 2015 when Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were in Brady's face. That's the key. If Brady has time, he can pick you apart, and perhaps the Jaguars have a defense to make a difference.
Yeah, it will make a difference. And, you know, Jaguars are the only wild card team left at this point. And the last time a wild card team won the Super Bowl was 2010. It was Green Bay. So, you know, that's another playing from being the underdog and playing with those kind of stats against you could be motivating for Jacksonville.
Okay, Patriots heavily favored at mm-hmm. home.
Clearly.
Weather might be a factor. Ron Culver chimed in, and because the Jaguars are, of course, a warm weather team going up to play the Patriots in cold weather climate. Lots in play. And then you've got the game Minnesota and Philadelphia, the Vikings and the Eagles. This one to be played in Philadelphia. To me, that's a defensive struggle. I don't think either quarterback is going to put a lot of points on the board facing tough defenses.
No, because you've got Minnesota, who leads the NFL in total defense and scoring defense, and then Philadelphia is fourth in the NFL in total defense and scoring defense. So it is going to be a slugfest, and you're not going to put the ball in the hands of Nick Foles to win it for you. you're going to give it to him not to lose it, which he managed to do last weekend quite well. But how interesting that both of these teams are one game away from the Super Bowl, despite the injuries on both sides,
yep.
both teams here, that should have dashed their title hopes early on. With Minnesota, you lost Bradford right out of the water. You didn't have Bridgewater back, and you lost rookie running back Dalvin Cook, who was going to be your franchise guy. And you look at Philadelphia, just lost Wentz with an ACL tear, and Foles has gone 3-1 with Wentz out. They lost left tackle Jason Peters, you know, linebacker Jordan Hicks, and Darren Sproles. Have they been without him? Both of those teams should not be where they are, and look what they've managed to overcome. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and then you've got the matchup of the former Rams quarterbacks. I mean, to think
what
Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
What are the thoughts of that?
You can, on one hand, you could say, well, the Rams had two championship caliber quarterbacks on their roster last year, and they let them walk.
Unbelievable.
Or they let Jeff Fisher walk.
It shows you what a difference coaching makes, especially in L.A. Wow.
Yeah, and there's so much more. The coaching and the whole ecosystem around the players and really what's happened with Case Keenum. I think he's benefited greatly from Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned something earlier, too, which I think is so important about, you know, home field advantage at this point in the playoffs can be really key. Obviously, it's going to be for Jacksonville coming from Florida going to Gillette Stadium. But even though the Vikings play in Minnesota, they play in an indoor stadium. And so they're now going to be playing outdoors in Philadelphia. And I don't know that there's a more hostile environment in the NFL than Philadelphia. That's going to be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, cold, hard, icy conditions.
And Philly fans.
And Philly fans. It just doesn't seem like that long ago when we had Bud Grant and the old Vikings teams playing outdoors. How dare they go indoors? The Vikings were built to be outdoors.
They really are.
That's my image of them, at least.
That's right. So it'll be interesting, and I wonder, too, if Case Keenum, what we're seeing, is he really better than he's been given credit for? It's a question mark.
Well, it's a question mark. We're skewed by our experience here in Houston, Texas. Well, when we come back, we can explore that. We're actually going to get a chance now. When we come back, we're going to visit with Pat Williams, the longstanding defensive tackle for the Vikings, and we'll get a look into, well, we're going to ask him about Case Keenum, and we're going to ask him about where he was when the miracle in Minnesota took place. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to the O'Reilly Studios on a special MLK edition of The Boss and the Gloss. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Pat Williams, the former defensive tackle of the Vikings, and we get the privilege of talking to you, Pat, the day after what everyone is calling the miracle in Minnesota. Congratulations, Pat, on you and all the Vikings.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
It's fun to ask, where were you when the moment happened? Were you at the stadium? Were you at home? And when did you really realize that this was going to be a touchdown that wins the game?
Let me say, I was at home in front of my TV watching with my son. And I told my son, I said, they finna win. They're like Alabama beat Georgia. I had just told him that right before that play. I said, they finna win this game like Alabama beat Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, I told him that right before that play.
And, you know, Stephon Diggs' brother, you know, the hero in Minnesota, was the kick returner for Alabama. So what's going on in the Diggs family? Jeez.
I don't know. And everybody doing good. So I'm glad we had them on our team.
I want what they're having. That's for sure. So, Pat, what would you do now? You've got this three-headed quarterback monster here in Minnesota, and not one of those quarterbacks is going to be under contract after this season. You've got Keenan, Bradford, Bridgewater. What do you do? Do you do everything you can to keep them all, or who's the odd man out?
I'll say keep all three if you can. But if you can't, we got to keep Bridgewater and Keenan.
Yeah, got to keep Keenum, right? After all of this? Yeah.
And Bridgewater, because he had the disastrous injury in his comeback. We got to give him more of a chance.
And maybe more total upside, I presume.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's why I like Bridgewater.
But go back to the beginning of this season. There was all the uncertainty at quarterback. Dalvin Cook, the running back, was injured. This did not look like a team on this trajectory. When did you see all this coming together?
After the fifth game when I saw that defense playing good. I said, all we need to do is just average 14 points a game, and our defense will hold us down.
I think you've got a pretty special locker room, too, that seems to be incredibly supportive of Case Keenum, because his first game out against the Steelers was a disaster, first start. He played poorly, and I saw an interview that he just said he got the support and the encouragement of not only the coaching staff, but all the players that were just like, you are our guy, which is fantastic, and I think that's really helped him. So coming up, they're going to see the Eagles in Philly, super hostile environment, as you know well, and they're going to be playing outside. What's your prediction on that game?
I'm taking the Vikings. Vikings going to win by 7.
By 7? I like it.
Yeah, so I'm going Minnesota all the way. They don't win this game by 7 because I think our defense better.
We're talking to Pat Williams. He's a former defensive tackle of the Vikings. Yes, the Vikings' defense is elite. And they're facing an offense on the Eagles' side led by Nick Foles. You've been on the defensive side of the ball. What do you think the Vikings will do to game plan against Nick Foles? Will they put pressure on him? Do they need to send extra guys? How do you see the defensive game plan for the Vikings unfolding?
Let me say, I think they're going to rush him with 4 and then probably send a couple more. And so I think you're going to put that pressure on him early to see how he's going to handle it. So I think they're going to put pressure on him real early.
Yeah, that's probably the key. So can I ask you, Pat, a couple questions about Buffalo, your first franchise that you played for?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about your first-year head coach, Sean McDermott? You know, the last time the Bills had gone to the playoffs was 1999, and he broke an 18-year drought, and, you know, they made it to the postseason.
You went to the playoffs in 99. I was there then. I was playing with
them. Well, that's why they went. They need you back.
I believe it.
I was there. So it was a long time before they went to the playoffs. So I was happy for them. I still cheer for the Buffalo Bills. I cheer for the Vikings. And I cheer for Texas A&M. So I cheer for all my teams I played for.
Okay, I love that. So what do you do if you're Buffalo? Do you make Tyrod Taylor your franchise quarterback, or are you going for a new guy?
I think they need to go trade for a veteran. So don't need no rookie right now. So I think they need to get a veteran quarterback in there.
Because now they're bringing Brian Daboll from the OC at Alabama to come fix that offense, who has 5 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, 6 with under Nick Saban. You know, he might be able to do okay with a rookie, but he would do even better with a veteran, right?
Yes, ma'am. So I think those they need a veteran. They don't need no more rookies.
We're talking to Pat Williams, a defensive tackle for the Vikings for many years. You were watching the game. You saw that game unfolding. Tell me about Stephon Diggs. Have you ever gotten to know him? What kind of character is he in the locker room and out on the field?
I had met Diggs when they played Green Bay Packers. I was at that game. When they played the Packers down there, like me and Kevin Williams were honorary captains. So I met him down there then. And see, but it's always like that inside Minnesota. I don't care who there, what year you is, and stuff. It's always been a family atmosphere around there. Everybody always got each other back in that locker room.
Well, they sure showed it over this season. And interestingly, they would be the only team, if they make the Super Bowl, they'd be the first team to host a Super Bowl, the game, of course, being played in Minnesota this year. What would that mean for the city of Minnesota?
Man, that would be the greatest thing ever. That would make this city so proud and the fans so proud. I think they got the best fans in the world. So I think they'll make this city so proud right there if they have Super Bowl, if they make it.
Well, I hope that curse was lifted as of yesterday. I hope for Minnesota and for you, Pat. That's pretty exciting.
Because I'm going. I know they're going to make it. They got to make it.
Well, you called the final play, so you may be ability to predict these things. That's Pat Williams, former defensive tackle of the Vikings. Pat, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Yes, sir, and thanks for having me.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings.
I've heard some people say that if the Vikings make it to the Super Bowl, maybe regardless, it'll just be Minnesotans who are there. That weather there is cold. I mean, it is the frozen tundra for a reason. It is really brutal.
But it is a beautiful indoor stadium.
Well, yeah, but I think what happens when you go to the city, you just stay indoors. There are habit trails, little places.
Sure.
You know, all the buildings are interconnected.
Well, we have that downtown Houston.
I know.
Because of the heat for a totally different reason. Isn't that crazy?
I know, but I would never have picked Minnesota in February.
Someone's got to pay for that stadium.
Well, and indeed we are.
And the Super Bowl tickets will help with that, sure.
Interesting. There's really – it's hard to imagine a time like this where the Vikings have three marquee name quarterbacks now. I mean, I'm going to include Casey Keenum now as a marquee quarterback after what happened. Three quarterbacks on the roster, none of whom are under contract next year. You listen to him and he'd say – Pat Williams would say, well, you got to have Keenum. He'd like to have Bridgewater back. He'd like to have Bradford back. Like to have all three. Realistically, they're probably going to keep one or two. You now have a good feeling about Case Keenum. You've looked at his history. It's sort of interesting to see how far he's come.
It's unbelievable, honestly. I mean, he's from Texas here, and he was just a two-star quarterback coming out of high school. However, he did win a Texas State title here in high school, which is a big deal because Texas is football country. And after all of that, he still ended up with only one offer coming out of high school, and that was with the University of Houston.
And that lack of offers must have been his general size. I mean, he's not a big, not a largely built guy, not a guy with a lot of heft or a big, strong throwing motion.
No, and it wasn't a 5A, 6A school. It was a smaller school. But nonetheless, it's Texas, and you want a state title.
Yep, state titles count.
But even when he got to U of H, University of Houston, he had to play for the starting job not once, but twice, because there was a coaching change. And so he has always – and then he ended up being – he had a great career at University of Houston, a finalist for the Davy O'Brien Trophy, which Baker Mayfield won this year, which is the best quarterback in college football, still went on undrafted. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating. He is a guy that he clearly learns best by living on the fringe. And he's learned – I heard him in an interview say – he really has learned to just cherish every opportunity he gets because he really has to kick and claw for everything that he's had, always playing from kind of the underdog position and being underestimated at every juncture, you know, high school, college, the draft. You know, he's been a journeyman in the NFL. Who would think we're talking about Case Keenum as a possible MVP candidate this season?
Only one man. Our former show producer, Chris Tubbs, about midway through the year.
Duly noted. You're
remember,
right.
He would, every time the Vikings would be on or we'd talk Vikings, he would light his candle.
That's right.
He would keep hope alive because he believed in Case Keenum and the Vikings.
Yes,
and he said when Bridgewater came back healthy, when Bradford would come back healthy, you had to stick with Keenum. And he was right.
And you know, Pat Williams brought up a good point, too, about, you know, when he played for the Vikings, and he was a three-time Pro Bowler with them, that locker room was always like a family. And I think it seems like that organization has been able to keep that going because Case Keenum talks about that. And, you know, we talked about a little bit in the interview with Pat Williams that, you know, Case Keenum had a terrible start with the Vikings, his first game out. But he had a locker room and a coaching staff that believed in him. And I think they've given him a system he can succeed in. It's a special place.
Yep.
And I love that they've been able to keep that going.
And credit Mike Zimmer, the head coach. He's a guy who had great success with the Cowboys on the defensive side of the ball. He's a defensive coordinator grown up into a head coach. Tried to get some head coaching job, but finally got this with the Vikings, and he's made the most of the opportunity. I think he's been well served at Pat Shurmur alongside him. So that will be a big loss if Shurmur does, in fact, go on to the Giants.
You know what was interesting? You just got me thinking about this. So this weekend in the game with New Orleans versus Minnesota. Those were two Adrian Peterson teams.
Yes, that's right.
We didn't see them at that level with Adrian Peterson. And the team that he did go to, bye-bye small fry, didn't see him in the playoffs. So, interesting.
Oh, but AP was out. He had great years with Minnesota.
He did. It was just towards the end. Yep. Things were not.
Well, what was rocky was he went to New Orleans, he had big expectations, and then was very vocal that he wasn't getting the touches he wanted.
Game one.
Yeah, there was not a lot of patience there.
No, and he did do well at Arizona. I mean, he had some really great games still there, but I just thought that was interesting.
Now, he's a guy whose career may be over.
It might be.
A lot of change coming in Arizona as well.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the coaching carousel.
And Bruce Arians stepping down.
That
was sad to see. I think it's hard for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. He's a really great guy. Very accomplished guy. And new quarterback going to be needed there, too.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Pulver knows how to play the music that gets Carla to sort of shake her shoulders a little bit, start dancing around in the studio.
I know, I can't stay still with good music.
Well, you know, his music makes you move.
I know. Ron, I love it.
The Gloss can dance. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Well, this is a good thing, and this is the award-winning, highly acclaimed, much-anticipated segment, the He Said, She Said segment, a segment where we look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week. We evaluate it. We dissect it. We take
Maybe
a hard...
we tell them they shouldn't have said it.
Or some people should never have said it, or some people could only say it with a beep when the wording
the
needs to be
ones.
Cleared out. Let's
favorite.
Take a look. We've got a number of notable athletes and their commentary. Let's first look at Ben Roethlisberger. As noted, there were a couple of fourth and short situations for the Steelers. They went for it. They failed to get it. Here's what, in the post-game press conference, Ben Roethlisberger had to say when asked about the play calls on fourth and short.
It's been a while since we run a quarterback sneak. I'm for it. I don't know if that's kind of over my head when it comes to why we don't do it. It's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and second guess why don't we quarterback sneak. I don't know how many years it's been since we ran a quarterback sneak. It's not like it's just this year. So, you know, I don't know.
I don't know the final length. What do you think?
Translation, my coach doesn't trust me. He needs to run a quarterback sneak. I'm huge. I can do it. Why isn't he running it?
Well, look, in hindsight, that would have been the better call. I mean, one of the play calls was a pitch outside to Bell that went nowhere. That fast Jaguar defense actually met him in the backfield for a loss. Another was a play action pass that might have worked, but it fell incomplete. So they did not convert on those two fourth and shorts. Ben is a guy you would think with his full body size and a big push at the line that he could have converted at least one of those on a quarterback sneak.
And I don't disagree with what he said. I do disagree with taking it to the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, you know, your season's over now. So you go behind closed doors with your coach because that's a really important relationship, your coach-quarterback relationship. And you talk to Tomlin behind the doors and say, this is what needs to be done, in my opinion. And I want to come back in 2018, which is what he said. But don't take it to the media. Don't air that dirty laundry. This is exactly why you're going home, Steelers. You do things like that. Don't. You're the leader of the team. You just open the doors for other people to be able to do the same thing and call out your coach. What Ben Roethlisberger should have done was tell Mike Tomlin he had spit in his beard yesterday. He was talking to him and didn't bother to do that. So there we go. Take care of him on that end. But I don't disagree with what he said at all. I think that would have been a great call. But deal with it behind closed doors.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we started with the negative first.
Sure.
We're going to go to a positive.
Good. I like that.
Calais Campbell of the Jaguars on the winning team. Listen to what he had to say before the game.
Days before the game.
We'll do whatever it takes. You know, I mean, we try to just win any way we can. You know, play one play at a time, you know, and execute, you know. But I take it, you know, 2-0 if it comes that way, or 45-42 if it comes that way. You know, as long as we win, I'm happy.
So hear that. He said several days before the game, he said, as long as we get a 45-42 win, I'm happy. And what was the final score?
45-42.
He's prescient.
I mean, sack master turned magician. Calais Campbell is money. We need him. Las Vegas needs Calais as much as Jacksonville does.
Well, it was amazing that he called out the score before the game. And it is notable. If you look at earlier in the season, actually before the season began, Malik Jackson said the Jaguars are going to the Super Bowl. Campbell actually affirmed the same statement prior to the season start. Barry Church said there was more talent on the Jaguar team than there was on the Cowboys team from which he had come. So these guys seem to have a vision of the future.
Well, they obviously see what has been showing, what Jacksonville's been showing everybody else. They are the real deal. They are complete. And they're a force to be reckoned with. I just think, who would have predicted a 45-point game out of Blake Bortles? That in itself is unbelievable.
Right. Now, I might have predicted a Jaguar win, but I never would have predicted that high a scoring game. Frankly, for either team to score that many points.
No, I know. They had over 900 yards of total offense in that game.
Look, Campbell saw it coming. These Jaguars, they know what they're thinking. When they say it, they actually see it. So there's another Jaguar who is pretty outspoken about the outlook for the Super Bowl. This is right after the win. The Jaguars get in front of their fans, and let's listen to what Jalen Ramsey had to say.
I ain't got too much to say, but y'all make sure y'all bring that same energy out here next week and the week after. We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that. We going to win that. Duval!
Jalen Ramsey.
Was that the B word?
Well, I don't
know. I think it was the B word. Ron, was it the B word?
The B word that he beeped out?
You mean beep?
Yeah.
I mean the B,
no,
the
like,
B word that begins with beep. That
rhymes
beep.
rhymes with which?
I don't know. I don't know that language.
No.
No, Ron wouldn't be familiar with such nonsense.
I just want to know it was beeped out.
Well, we don't know, but we always are partial when we're picking.
I mean, I could play the unedited version, but I guarantee this would be your last show.
This is family. That would
be
it.
We'd be done, wouldn't we?
And considering I'm sitting next to the boss, Ron, I think we'll pass on that.
The boss would blame the producer. I'd fire Ron.
Exactly.
That would be.
And then I would blame the guy who put it in the system.
That's right.
And then I'd be cleaning more windows tomorrow.
But let's be clear. Whenever we pick the audio for the He Said, She Said segment, I'm always partial to the audio that has a beep in it.
You love that. Beep. You really do.
Well, I always have the beep button ready when you are talking.
I know. It's very edgy here.
But Jalen Ramsey of the Jaguars, who can predict the future, he's basically declared it. It's a Joe Namath guarantee. The Jaguars are going to win it all.
Gosh, I love his confidence. Florida State guy. Jalen's loved to talk. It goes with the name. I definitely know that. But I don't want to give my opponent any bulletin board material.
Well, and he's facing none other than the Patriots.
I know.
So,
Oh, boy.
I appreciate his confidence.
But I appreciate his confidence, too. And you know what? He's got the play that can back it up. So, it should be I hope for a good game this weekend.
All right. I'm going to – the next He Said, She Said comes from Major Applewhite. He's the head coach of the University of Cougars football team. And I'm going to let you tee this up. U of H has hired two former Baylor coaches, Kendall Browse, son of Art Browse, and Randy Clements. They've been hired as the offensive coordinator. Kendall Browse will be the OC. And then Randy Clements is there as the offensive line coach. So they've hired these two guys, and Applewhite was asked about them. They're coming out of the tainted Baylor program, mm-hmm. and all the trouble that happened there under Art Briles.
That's still going on. Still lawsuits dealing with the sexual assault on the football team.
And Major Applewhite asked about it, said, well, we did our due diligence. So that's the quote. That's the he said. We've done our due diligence, and therefore, I guess the presumption is, things are clear and we can hire these two guys.
I have a lot of problems with this. Okay. And the thing, and I hate to do this because I love U of H and I love the direction it's
love
going.
Love the Cougars.
I love the Cougars. And I think Tom Herman started riding the ship, handed it over to Major Applewhite when Herman went to Texas. I don't like this. I don't like this optic at all because you know what? The Baylor scandal is not over. There are still lawsuits going on. And the court of social media that is out there is ringing true. And then what happens is that, you know, you've got a new AD at University of Houston and Chris Pesman. They've got a great president who's doing so much in Renu Cater, a woman. You've got Tillman Fertitta, head of the board, new owner of the Rockets, does so much for that university. How could these two hires get past those three amazing people? And I look at Major Applewhite, who was a guy as a coach at University of Texas. He was reprimanded, and it was very public for having an affair with a student trainer at University of Texas. And he's the one telling us he's done his due diligence on Kendall Brile, Art Brile's son, and another guy who played under the system, who also coached the system at Baylor. I don't know. I just have a lot of trouble with it. And Kendall Brile's, while he is not Art Brile's, he was very involved. He was very public on social media, supporting his dad. He started the football season with the Sharpies, his dad's initials on the hand, when all this had gone down. No regard for the victims. I just think it's a really bad optic for University of Houston, a program that's really making a name for itself. I don't like it.
Is there a point at which, or what would have to happen to make you feel comfortable with this hire?
I don't think I will be comfortable with that hire because Kendall Briles specifically has been and continues to be very vocal in support of his dad. And while, yes, you're going to support your dad, if he was equally vocal about the victims and that there were victims, but instead it's just a lot of excuses. And also, you know, he's been in trouble with the NCAA for recruiting violations as well. He's not clean at all. And not only with the sexual assault scandal, but with NCAA infractions. So I don't know why this program needs to bring in someone like this. You know, you get happy, like we talked about USC a lot, keeping with the Pete Carroll tree. And then once you've exhausted those resources and realize that those don't work out, you can move on. The Patriots tree, we talked about the young guns that are going to be hired as head coaches now. And we'll see how they work out. And it isn't until there's enough times that it doesn't work out, you can move on from that. And I think Art Briles is a very successful football coach, not only at the University of Houston, but then at Baylor. But I think what has happened in the interim is just, it's too much to overcome.
Well, no one has questioned the coaching ability of Kendall Briles.
Correct.
Or Art Briles. These are guys who have been really offensive geniuses and done very, very well offensively. Obviously, the other issues off the field have been the real issue.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they're very real for these families that are still dealing with it.
So what about Art Briles? He had the chance to coach in Canada. Social media was pretty strong.
A lot of backlash.
He lost the job opportunity. Mm-hmm. He's now idle. Do you see him getting back into coaching?
Sadly, I do. Yes, I do, because he's talented. I think his best chance will be in the NFL. I don't think he'll be able to coach in college again. I think that is too fresh. There's too much Title IX business dealing with it. I don't think there's a university that could, at least not in the near future, do that. But the NFL, sure. I think some time has to pass. But, you know, what they're seeing now with Art Briles, the CFL saw it and had to back out of their contract with him. The Association of Football Coaches of America just had their convention in Charlottesville, and he was scheduled to speak at one of the sessions. Because of all the social media backlash, they had to back out and cancel him as a speaker. And interestingly enough, the executive director said, "I'm sad that our coaches have lost an opportunity to hear him speak."
Hmm.
Wow. I don't know. I can't say I'm sad about that. But when that attitude happens, that tells me he will work again, for sure.
He will, if he's been invited to speak into that kind of a forum. And then you wonder about, well, frankly, a public that often has short memories. There are lots of things happening with lots of public figures that are seemingly forgotten pretty quickly. And then there are second and third chances. So I do believe Art Briles will be coaching again at some level. I would suspect, if not this football season, next football season. Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised.
Interesting times. All right, that's the He Said, She Said segment. We have heard from a Steeler, a couple Jaguars, and from Major Applewhite at the University of Houston. When we come back, we will empty out the notebook. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, we're still abuzz because John Gruden will be on the air tomorrow joining the Sean Salisbury Show at 5:40 Eastern Time. 5:40 Eastern Time, the Sean Salisbury Show. John Gruden, the new coach of the Raiders, will join the show. And we're all abuzz. In fact, Ron, back me up on this. Carla, a long, passionate fan of John Gruden, she's almost flush right now thinking about the possibility of his being here in studio.
It's a hot flash.
Hot flashes. I know. I don't think I've ever seen her this way.
Can you blame me?
Chucky? Yes. Chucky?
Yes, I can blame you, you know.
From a
division rival standpoint, I can't
blame you, Ron.
Anything Raider.
That's true.
Okay, so an interesting question. John Gruden stepping out of the broadcast booth. Who's going to replace him on Monday Night Football? Sean McDonough needs a co-host.
Okay, Ron, you had some good picks.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see Peyton Manning as long as he can get away from his Nationwide and Papa John commercial spots.
Yeah.
But I would really love it if he did bring a little bit of that in there, you know, his nationwide things like, you know, they're going forward on fourth and one.
I think it would be perfect.
That would be a lot of fun. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, the one name that I don't even think is being thrown out there, but we were talking about it during the break, was Bruce Arians really surprised me when he went on his little media tour after he announced his retirement. Never saw him as being a personal guy, especially post-game interviews. He was always very, you know, quick. He was almost, you know, Belichick-esque in giving out his answers. But now that he has no pressure on him, he was very relaxed and just very candid. So, I don't know, maybe he's vying for a job, knowing that Gruden is stepping away from that.
All right, so you're going with Manning or Arians.
Yeah.
Carla, well, who's your pick?
I would love to see Peyton Manning in the booth. He's so likable, and he's hilarious. I think it would be great. I think it would be really great. But I like Bruce Arians, too, and he can be very motivational. He's got a lot of insight, which is great.
Okay, I've got another name you all have not mentioned yet. To pair alongside Sean McDonough, are you ready for this, Ron? Carla Dawson.
Oh,
yes. What do you think?
Then you'll be able to see when my face gets red.
I actually don't like that idea because you would be without her on Monday nights.
I know. I don't know. This show would unravel.
It's too much of a sacrifice.
Very, very quickly. It'd be the end of The Boss and the Gloss. You have been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. This is David and Carla on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.